Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
Let's start off with something. We did it last week. Hand on your heart. God loves me. God sees me. He knows me. And he loves me. It's a good way to get going. We talked last week about being one of God's favorites. I had someone contact me. They wanted me to do a wedding, like off campus, and I just don't have time. They said, but I'm one of God's favorites. I'm like, yes, you are, but you're not the favorite, so no. I'm going to wrap up this series tonight. Just a reminder, next Wednesday, we will not be having services. Next Wednesday, there's a lot of volunteers that are involved in Easter weekend, so next Wednesday, we'll not be here. And so I'm wrapping up our mind renewal, we call this a mind renewal recap. I hope this has helped you. I hope this series has been a blessing to you. I've enjoyed doing it, but let me just recap some things real quickly as we go through, and I want to give you some practices, very simple practices that you can begin to renew your mind. Transformation is available. It's just not automatic. Romans, the 12th chapter, verse 2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Transformation is the same word that we get the word metamorphosis from. And it's the change from the inside out. And it's a function of repeating and replacing thoughts with truth, wrong thoughts with truth. It's not a function of time. I think sometimes people get a little discouraged because they see people who have been Christians for years and in church for years, and they don't see life change. And you have people who do everything from doubt their salvation to, well, they never got saved. No. If you don't take Scripture and begin to transform your mind, you won't change as much. And so, you know, there's a process that can come, but, you know, it's not a function of time. You know, there are some things that as you get older, we just naturally expect you to learn to do. I mean, if you're 10 years old, you should be feeding yourself. And if you're 20, you definitely should be feeding yourself. But those are things that come with age. Spiritual growth and transformation does not come with time. This is kind of like, they just used to pass people along in school, whether they were passing or failing. It doesn't work that way. We have to take God's word. We have to begin to renew our minds. So it's not a function of just being in church long enough. I'm a big proponent for being in church. I believe in church. I know church helps. I know church can strengthen. I know church can equip, but I also know that church is on Sundays and Wednesdays and Tuesdays, and life goes on a lot more in between. And so you can't live in church, but church can live in you, and God's word can live in you, and so it can make a difference. Here's on renewing our mind, our repeated thoughts shape our inner life. Our repeated thoughts shape our inner life. Proverbs 23rd chapter, verse 7, the first part of that says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. As he thinks in his heart. And so our repeated thoughts shape our inner life, and our inner life shapes who we become. So this is another good reason when the Bible says in Proverbs, it said, guard your heart, for out of it are the issues of life. And so that inner man, our inner life that we learn to take care of. Our fight is in the mental, emotional realm. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verses 3 through 5. Although we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, we're fleshly, but they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Strongholds are false beliefs accepted as truth. I mean, we can have strongholds in a lot of different areas. And so, for example, strongholds in your identity, who you are, what you identify with. There are strongholds in your capacity. There's some people that just feel like, I just can't do very much. I'm not worth very much. I have a very low self-esteem. That's a stronghold. It's not a truth. It's a stronghold. People who have gloom and doom about their future. They don't think anything's good. They're the kind of people where you have some really good things happen and they're like, yeah, but you know what's coming. You know, when good things, I've heard people say, you know, too many good things are happening. They're waiting for the other shoe to, that's also not a scripture, but it's, but it can be a stronghold. How you see yourself can really be such a stronghold, such a limiting thing. False beliefs that we accept to be true. If you believe, and I've heard people establish strongholds, maybe I hope you've never said this, I can't understand the Bible. And so, listen, I got good news for you. I can't understand all, I don't understand all the Bible. If you follow my devotionals, I was telling Wilma, my admin today, I said, Romans 6 is a great chapter. Romans 7 is a challenging chapter. Romans 8 is a great chapter. Romans 9 is a challenging chapter. Romans 10 is a great chapter. Romans 11, man, I'm struggling here. You say, well, you're a pastor. You're supposed to know all that stuff. I didn't get to be a pastor because I knew everything. I got to be a pastor because I got called to do this. And I'm still learning, still growing, just like you're still learning and still growing. I imagine when we get to heaven, there'll be classes. Because I expect to keep learning and growing even when I get to heaven. I do not expect to be a fat, naked baby angel shooting arrows at someone. That doesn't sound like heaven to me. That sounds like a bad deal. But I expect us to keep going. I want to attend some of the Apostle Paul's classes. Those will be good. And then to cap it off, let Jesus go ahead and wrap it all up at the end. That would be great. We'll be learning. And you can look over at me and go, you didn't tell us this. And I'm like, I didn't know this. So we're all learning. We're growing. So it's a process of we having to need to replace and pull down strongholds. And so this is what I hope you get out of this series, that we have to be very intentional about going after the strongholds in our life. This is one reason I encourage you to read the Bible. Michael did a great job on Sunday encouraging people to read the Bible. Everything that boy knows, Joy and I taught him. I just want you to know that. But if you read Scripture, then you have a filter to begin to determine what thoughts are true and what thoughts are not. If you don't know the Scriptures, it's hard to determine. And so one of the biggest problems is people think, well, I just think this way. This must be true. I can't ever change. That's a stronghold. I can't ever change is a stronghold. Listen, you got changed the moment you made Jesus your Lord. You became a new creation in Christ. Changed people change. We've already changed spiritually. So now we just have to do something with our minds and do something with our bodies. So we have what we need to replace and pull down strongholds. We have God's Word. That's the sword of the Spirit that can cut through stuff. And we have the Holy Spirit. I like this. He is our personal helper who guides us into truth. We have a personal helper. Jesus called him the helper. He said, he'll be with you. So if he's in us, is he in us? If you're a believer, he's in you. So if he's in me, he's helping me. He's not telling me what you need to do. He's helping me. He's guiding me into all truth. And he is marvelous at taking. This is why if you'll begin to read the Scriptures and you're dealing with something, you'll sense a scripture come up in you and you think, I must have an amazing memory. No, you have an amazing helper who just reminded you of that scripture and can bring it to your memory, and he can guide you into the truth on the situation. That's a great thing to ask him. Holy Spirit, would you show me the truth about this? Show me the truth about me. Show me the truth about this fear that has dominated my life. Show me the truth about this depression that I know I should be free from. Show me the truth. And he'll give you scriptures. You got to work with him. But he will, and then God's word can help you cut through it. So here's a great thought to think. Truth breaks lies. Light breaks darkness. Truth breaks lives. Didn't Jesus say, if you continue my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth? And the truth shall what?
Set you free.
You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. If there's a truth that can make you free, there's a lie that can bring you into bondage. And so what we're learning to do is begin to recognize those lies that bring us into bondage. And when you start hearing things like, I'll never, it never works out for me. The Holy Spirit will not talk to you in nevers. He talks to you in possibilities, not nevers. And when you hear nevers, that's not the Lord. So you need to go, okay, all right. I can never understand this. I can never live this Christian life. Those are thoughts that you need to put truth on and break through them, because those are lies. And the enemy uses lies to hold us into bondage. Now, all of us have to deal with strongholds. Everybody you know deals with some kind of stronghold somewhere. We're all in the process of making changes. But just understand that you've got truth that will help you. If recognizing and replacing the lies that have held us back. I thought this, and this is, we won't go into it too much tonight, but think about the one thing, one belief about yourself that if you could change it, it would help you. Think about one thing. Maybe it's your thoughts on fear. Maybe it's your thoughts on acceptance. Maybe it's your thoughts on being rejected, or that you're destined to fail. Whatever you're thinking, if I could just deal with this, man, this one thought that keeps plaguing me, it would change. And when you find that one, you can go, okay, Lord, we can beat this one. See, here's the thing. We have to believe we can win. You can't go into this thinking, I'll never get this. I never win at anything. When Joy was so sick, the doctors weren't giving us much hope. This was years ago. And Joy told the Lord, she said, I never win at anything. But she, with the Lord's help, she beat chronic pancreatitis. And so she was able to win, but that thought, I never do this, I never get my prayers answered, I never can overcome in this area, I never can get free from this. Those are thoughts you need to go after, because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You can. And you can overcome. But you see how you have to have a thought that deals with the contrasting thought. The challenge is we've had repeated thoughts for so long that what science calls automatic thought patterns. And so we have to break automatic thought patterns, but you have to break it with truth. So let me just talk about, I want to give you some practices. A lot of times people say these are steps. I like practices better. Here's the mind renewal process. Let me give it to you. We got about 15 minutes. The first one is be still. Be still. This is Isaiah 30th chapter, verse 15. Thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved, and quietness and confidence shall be your strength. Quietness and confidence. The reason of being still is our minds are constantly firing. But we can learn just to be still and to focus. Do not try to renew your mind and multitask at the same time. That's going to be tough to do. So just learn to be still. How many of you know that's not something that we, in our generation, that we do at all? We are busy people. We got something going on all the time. So I'm about to hit your phone here just in a second, so just stay with me. Second one is this, practice is to meditate on God's truth. 1 Timothy 4:15. Meditate on these things. This is Paul talking to Timothy. Give yourself entirely to them that your progress may be evident to all. Meditate on these things. So let's talk this real quickly again. I'm recapping tonight. Let me talk a little bit about meditation. Meditation is not sitting cross-legged on the floor going, And see, a lot of times what's happened is Eastern religions and New Age teaching has kind of hijacked meditation, and Christians are like, no, we're not supposed to meditate. No, where exactly we're supposed to meditate, but we're not emptying our mind. That's what a lot of times what you hear in meditation. Just empty your mind of everything. No, you don't want to do that. because you don't know what's going to fill it. I want to fill my mind. And I want to fill my mind with God's truth. So I'm not trying to empty it. I'm trying to fill it with God's truth. So here's just a real simple way. Now, it will do this. It will create new neural pathways and responses. When you begin to meditate, you can actually retrain your mind to think differently. Retrain your brain to think differently. Science is catching up with God. They're never ahead. They're only catching up. God is not going, wow, that's amazing. So meditation, say a scripture slowly. See yourself in the light of God's word. As you practice this, you'll get more comfortable. But you can just take a scripture. How about this one? We're accepted in the beloved. As I'm just speaking, I'm accepted in the beloved. As I was meditating on that one time, I saw myself standing outside. This is just in my imagination. Say, Alan, you shouldn't use your imagination. Who do you think gave it to us? Imagination didn't come from Satan. Imagination came from God. He gave us the ability to see and to look in the scripture. So I saw myself standing outside, and I'm looking inside, and there's like Jesus and other people sitting around a table. And I'm on the outside looking in. But Jesus goes and invites me to the table. We're accepted. We're not rejected. You go before the throne, there's not a bunch of angels looking at you like, what are you doing here? They're smiling, they're welcoming you. Because of what Jesus did, we're accepted. We're loved. But begin to see yourself that way. So I'm meditating, thinking about it, speaking it, saying it slowly. Again, if you've never done it, it's going to seem a little awkward when you start. But just because it seems awkward doesn't mean it's wrong. It's just different. So say a scripture, see yourself in the light of God's word. Number three, and this is important, affirm the truth out loud. Speak it out loud. Speak scripture out loud. Proverbs 18:21, you've heard me go through this one a lot, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat its fruit. Speaking God's word out loud helps it become the default thought. I've enjoyed doing this series because I've been learning a lot in it. And a lot of times going home after a day of work, I don't know about you, but man, my mind is like, I want to do anything but think. I just want to kind of zone out. But I put on just some, what I call Christian elevator music. It's that real kind of mellow stuff. And I just took one scripture and I just spoke it out loud on the way home. But here's what I found. After doing that for a while, it gets easier and easier. So anything that you practice, you become better at. When I grew up, I loved basketball. And when I first started playing basketball, I'm just a little guy. So I used to take the basketball like this and heave it from here. Well, as I got older, if you still shoot the basketball from here, you are a target for anyone to block your shot. And so I went to a basketball camp and they said, Alan, you're going to have to take the shot and go above your head like this and shoot it. That felt weird. I couldn't get it there. The ball would go in other different directions. But what happened is the more I practiced it, the more it just became natural. Do you know I can still shoot a basketball? There's still muscle memory there. I can still shoot. I can't jump like I used to. But I can still shoot. Why? Because I practiced it so much. If you'll practice just saying God's word out loud, you start to retrain your mind. It becomes the default mode. So instead of thinking negative thoughts, you can start thinking positive ones, God's thoughts. The mind believes the voice it hears the most. Too often it's negative. So we need to change that. Break the cycle by speaking truth. It will sound strange when you start, but it will help you. You know, there's a lot of things that are weird when you first start them, but you get better. Kissing was weird when I first started. Didn't quit. I don't know anyone said, "No, I tried kissing. Man, I hate that stuff. I'm not doing that again at all." No, most of us are like, "No, I know it's got to be better than this. It's going to get better." Practice consistently. Consistency beats sporadic intensity. There used to be a, everyone heard the saying, it takes 21 days to break a habit? That was actually given by Dr. Maxwell Maltz. He's the guy that wrote the book Psycho-Cybernetics, 1960. And what he actually said has been misquoted. He said it takes a minimum of 21 days. And he was talking about, he was a plastic surgeon. He said for someone to get a new image of themselves when they would do plastic surgery, for them to get used to their face and the changes, he said it would take a minimum of 21 days. So the idea is don't just think 21 days and I'm done. It's consistently. That you're consistently doing this. Strongholds do not form overnight. Strongholds will not disappear overnight. Utilize the optimal times. First and last 30 minutes, your brain is in an alpha state. Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter. "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart." Now this is Old Testament. "You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." They said the time that our brain is in what they call an alpha state is in the first 30 minutes and the last 30 minutes of the day, right before you go to bed. These are times. Now, here's the thing. We've just become used to reaching for the phone, scrolling, seeing what comes in. Don't waste that time. Utilize that time to start something different. Start a new habit. Leave your phone alone. There's nothing in that phone that's going to revolutionize your life in the next 30 minutes. And so just leave it alone. And I realize it's a habit. I've gotten tethered to my phone. I have left the house just to go down the street, forgot my phone, and went back and got it. I'm going 2 miles away, but I had to have my phone. So we've gotten so accustomed to them, but we don't have to spend our whole lives scrolling. What your friend had for dinner last night is not going to change you. The party you missed is not going to help you. And think about it. How many of you just had those days where you wake up late and you rush through your day and it seems like it sets the whole day wrong? Why don't we set the whole day right and just wake up and go, for the first 30 minutes, just meditate a scripture. You ought to do this. Jordan, I've been doing this. God loves me. First thing in the morning, I'm going to start off with God loves me. God sees me. He knows me. I'm accepted by Him. Well, I want to start there and then take a scripture and meditate on that scripture. So, well, you know, I got things to do. Really? Everybody's got things to do. But utilize your best time. Well, I get up just right before. You could get up earlier. I didn't hear any woos on that. I know a lot of Joy, who was the mom to 3 children, including Matthew, who never slept in his life. She would get up, and she started getting up. She'd be up at 4:30, 5 o'clock, because she wanted that time. Utilize optimal times. Number 6, practice make renewing the mind a lifestyle. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let the word of Christ, God's word, works best when it dwells in us. Let it dwell in us richly. That's something we do. That's not something God does. That's something we do, but we can do it. We just have to, again, to discipline, to focus, and just make it a practice. Now, just think about it. If we're wanting change, and many of us, won't change. We want things. We want to see things change. We want to see things get better. If we won't change, then we have to do something different. Or we're going to keep getting the same stuff we always got. Now, it's not a scripture, but someone said if you keep doing the same things that you're always doing, you're going to keep getting the same things that you're always getting. And it's a sign of insanity to think you can keep doing the same things and get different results. So you want to change it. And so, I didn't want to change my schedule. Yes, you do. You want to change your schedule because you want to change. And so we look at these things and we go, okay, I'm going to change this. I'm going to do something different. But if you do it, it'll pay off. Let me just wrap it up with this. Recognize there will be opposition. Ephesians 6, 10 and 11. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Armor of God we need for a reason. When you start making progress, please do not think the enemy's going to go, oh, they're making progress. I'm just going to leave them alone. No, there's opposition. So we're able to stand against the wiles of the enemy. We have an enemy. He is defeated. So we're to be aware, not afraid. I've heard people say, man, I don't want to get too into this because you know every time you really start living for God, the enemy comes in. Yes. But you can beat him. Jesus already defeated him, and so you can resist him. Just understand that you said, you know, Alan, I started meditating. All of a sudden, my mind's just like, it's going, like thoughts are just coming at me like bees. Well, you have to understand you have an enemy. But we also have the helmet of salvation. We also have God's word. That's when you begin to thank God. Say, Lord, thank you that my mind is my mind, and I can think on thoughts I want to think on. And no one can tell me that I can't. Renewing our mind is key to transformation. It's key to change. I hope you take it. Just take one of these things. Take it with you. Put it into practice. If you do, you'll come back to me in a year and you won't not go, man, you lied to me. You lied to me. You lied. You're going to come back and go, thank you. Thank you because the truth you shared has made me free. That's the beautiful thing about, man, I love this life. Because, when you're about 21, you stop growing physically. I kept waiting to get taller. It never happened. My dad was 6'4". He was Big Richard. I would have been... My first name is Richard. Thank God they called me Alan. I'd have been Little Richard all my life. I'd have been a bummer, too. But around 21, you stop growing. A lot of times people stop growing intellectually when they get out of school. But spiritually, you never have to stop. We just keep on growing and growing. You say, well, you know, Alan, I'm in my 80s now. I'm too old. My wife's aunt, Mary, started reading the Bible when she was 92. She's read it through 3 times now. She gets up every morning and reads it. She never read the Bible before in her life. Joy talked her and some other people talked her into it. She gets up and reads it for an hour every day. We're like, well, she's 95. She got nothing else to do. Hey. Hey, come on now. But she started at 92. You start spiritual growth anytime you want to. And you don't have to stop for anybody or anything. God loves you. He sees you. He knows you. Would you bow your head? Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you that we can renew our minds. You've given us all the tools. You've given us the capability. We are not limited. We're not impaired. We're your children. And we can do this. Thank you for that. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're here this evening and say, you know what, Alan, I don't have a relationship with the Lord. I know that. He knows that. Or, excuse me, you're here and you say, you know what, I knew the Lord. I walked with the Lord. I've gotten away from him and I want to come back. We're going to say a prayer. If you're watching online, this prayer's for you. If you're here, I'm only going to ask you to do one thing. His heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one's looking around. If that's you and you say, you know what, Alan, I want to know the Lord, or I want to come back to him. Would you pray for me? Would you just lift your hand real high and wave it at me? Say, that's me. Don't be embarrassed. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Great. Thank you. Put your hands down. We're going to pray. If you're online, I can't see you, of course, but this prayer is for you as well. Those of you who lifted your hand, and maybe you didn't lift your hand, you really wanted to, you can still pray this prayer. We're going to pray it with you as a church family. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I said yes to you. Father, I thank you for those that prayed that prayer. Father, I thank you for those who are here, who are watching online, that feel like their life can never change. Lord, I thank you for the light of your word and truth and by your spirit, that that stronghold can come down and that change is possible, very possible. So thank you for the light and the help and the hope that we have in you. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.